If you have your Bibles this morning, we invite you to turn with us to the book of Malachi. I want to look this morning in chapter number 3, verse number 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. Father, we thank you for this text that lies before us, for the entire word of God. We thank you that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, came to this earth. He took upon himself flesh and he lived a sinless life and died upon Calvary's cross there, giving his life for wretched sinners such as I. And I thank you, Lord, that on that first day of the week, after 3 days, Jesus arose. Our victory is in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank you for that truth. Now, Lord, I pray this morning that there would be nothing between us and thee that would hinder us from experiencing the power of God. Lord, that you'd be amongst us today and fill us, saturate us with the Holy Ghost. Help us, Lord, to have an unction from above to preach the word of God. Father, we can't, but I know you can. And I pray, Lord, you'd use us this morning. Speak to our hearts, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in the Old Testament, there are many typologies of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ found. We certainly can see him in Aaron's rod that budded. We can see him in Noah's ark. And we could go on and on and on with typologies in the Old Testament. Certainly Malachi here said that the Lord and Savior Jesus, when he came to this earth, that he would be like a refiner's fire. He would be like a fuller's soap. This morning, I want to preach on Christ as the fuller's soap. Now, what is a fuller? Well, when you shear sheep, you get fleece, which is raw wool. Oftentimes, it's a little bit dirty, it's smelly. If you were to convert that wool into thread or cloth, and you went around without having it washed, you would smell like a sheep. That's not a desirable smell, to smell like the field, but that's how you would smell. So what they would do is, after they've sheared the sheep and they have the fleece, which is the wool, they would take it to the fuller. And the fuller is responsible for taking that and cleansing it. He is the one that's going to clean it. He wets it. He cleans it. He purges it. He causes it to be white in appearance. And he would take those fibers, cleansing them, even beating them upon a rock until they're in a consistent, clean condition. Oftentimes, the fuller would be the one responsible for the cleansing of the attire of different priests and things of that nature. And the fuller would have a field that he would work in, and the fuller, around that fuller's field, there would be running water for him to access all those natural substances. And some months ago, as I was preaching in a revival meeting, there was a gentleman who walked up to me when the service was over, and he said, "Preacher Darren, I've made you a bar of my homemade soap." And this bar of soap, God used it to speak with me about what our Lord and Savior does. So we want to look at Christ as the fuller's soap. Number one, there is the demand for soap. "Preacher Darren, there's a demand for soap?" Oh, you don't realize this morning, why is it that we need soap? We need soap because of the presence of a stain. It's there to cleanse us. When you and I are ruined with sin stain, when we are marked up, when you and I are soiled, we're going to need to be cleansed
by the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The presence of the stain this morning has to be admitted. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 64, verse number 6, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The Bible says, and you can't hide it from him. You may hide it from the preacher. You may hide it one from another, but you can't hide it from him. He said in Hebrews chapter 4 that all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Listen what was written in the book of Job. Behold, he putteth no trust in his saints. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man who drinketh iniquity like water. All of us this morning must realize that our souls, our lives are stained with sin. At home, you would use soap to take a bath with when you are dirty. You would use soap to wash your hair with. It make your hair go, get you squeaky clean, amen. You would use soap to wash your garments with because of the presence of the stain. Aren't you glad this morning that you and I, oh yes, we're sinners, but aren't you glad that Jesus is the one who cleanses our stain? Not only the presence of the stain, but the penetration of that stain. You and I were created to worship and to fellowship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now we know that we're all stained, but not everybody realizes they're stained. Have you ever maybe gotten your face dirty, but you didn't know it until you looked in the mirror and you said, oh, where'd I get that mark on my forehead? I didn't know I marked up the side of my face with a pen there. Maybe somebody was honest enough to walk up to you and say, why have you got that pen mark up the side of your head, okay? Somebody has to tell you, or you have to have it revealed to you in a mirror. Amen. I didn't realize at one time my filthiness, my wretchedness, my putridness until I looked in the mirror of the Word of God and it showed me for what I really was. Amen. And then that man of God mounted that pulpit and stood at that altar and he began to tell me that I was a sinner stained, amen, with filthy rags and about how I could be saved and be cleansed and be washed and have garments of salvation that only Jesus Christ could give. Amen. There's the penetration of the stain. Now listen to this verse. Jeremiah 2:22. We're talking about people who tried to wash themselves, but you can't do it yourself, can you? You're going to need Christ, the fuller soap. Jeremiah 2:22. For though thou wash with nitre and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord God. Now let's just think about some characters here. I think about the prodigal son who left the house and took all his father's inheritance that was coming to him and wasted it all on riotous living. He lived a wicked life until all his resources ran out. And the Bible says he went to the hog lot. And when he got down there in the hog lot, the Bible says that he came to himself. That's what I believe. I believe in the hog lot, there's what we call the wallow. And you turn a pig loose, he'll go right to the pig wallow, amen. He'll get where the water is, and he'll roll around in the muck and the mire and slop that old nasty food. And there, the prodigal son, he was a son, but he was down there in the wallow. And I can't but help think if he didn't look and see himself filthy. A son that once lived in righteousness, but now's in a hog wallow. And when he came to himself, he said, I'm going to go home back to my father's house where he has hired servants that are eating better than I am. He came to, I believe, amen, when he got home, his father gave him a hug. His father gave him a ring. His father gave him a robe. His father killed a fat calf. But in between the lines, I think he got the soap out, don't you? And I think he washed himself, amen. I begin to think then about another character in the Word of God who is a leper. And the Bible said he had a disease that was loathsome. He was vile. He could not fellowship with anybody else. But Jesus passed by his way one day, and this is what he said to Jesus. He said, Jesus, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Amen. And Jesus said, I will. And he took out Christ the fuller soap, and he touched him, and he said, I will. Be thou clean. And from that very hour, once more, hey, the leper had fellowship with Jesus. The leper had fellowship with his fellow man, had fellowship with his family. It's because he got washed. What about King David when he got off in an adulterous affair and even committed what I would say is murder when he had Bathsheba's husband put on the front line and had him killed pretty much? He thought he could hide that, didn't he, in his righteousness, but the Lord hadn't spoke to him. And finally one day while he sat on his lofty throne, the man of God walked up to him and said, thou art the man. Hey, David didn't try to hide it no more. He got down on his face and he said in Psalm 51, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from mine sin. Verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. You may say, Preacher Darren, I already took a bath this morning. You'll be needing another one soon. When I was a little fella, we'd get out in the yard, we'd roll around, get grass stained, mud on us. We'd make mud pies. We'd throw them one in another, and boy, it wasn't no fun when I got that mud pie in my ear. Maybe that's why I can't hear real good. But I'm telling you, we'd come in, and Mom would say, you boys had better take a bath. You better take a shower. And man, I'd go in there and lock the door and cut the shower on, and I didn't want to get in. I just kind of washed off a little bit. Didn't really get in the shower because little boys don't like taking baths. Can I get a witness? Let's just be honest before God. You don't like taking baths, son. So I'd take my towel. I thought my mom might inspect my towel, and I'd flap it around there a little bit in that shower and get it just a little bit wet so if she felt a towel, it'd be wet. And I'd try to lie to her. Till I come out of the shower, she said, let's inspect you. She checked behind my ears. They was filthy. She checked my neck. It was filthy. She checked my arm. She checked my knees. Grass stained. She said, what happened to you? I said, I didn't take a bath right. She said, you get back in there and you get cleaned up, amen. You get the soap out and you get squeaky clean. I want to say this to God's people this morning. It's something about us. We don't like to take a spiritual bath. We like to try to wash off the way we want to wash off. But we need to get Christ the fuller soap and get us squeaky clean, amen. There is the demand for soap because of the stain, because that it has penetrated and it's present in our life. Number two, as I begin to study this, I begin to think about the discovery of soap. Now, I hold in my hand an old-fashioned bar of soap. But did you know that what I found out, that soap was not invented. It was discovered. Now, I want to make an observation here about its discovery. They say that it was found in Roman times. It was discovered on Sapo Hill. That's where it gets its name, soap. What happened was that on top of that hill, there was a pagan temple to a pagan god. And the priest of that pagan god went to the altar, and underneath the altar, where the animal fat had fallen down, where there had been wood burning, which was now ashes, and water got on it, it began to make, and salt was put on it. It had all the ingredients to make soap. He picked it up. He took it outside of their pagan temple and threw it out there, and just threw it outside. And when the water began to hit it and it washed down the hill, the ladies, a group of women who was washing clothes in the river down there, saw this substance as it began to mix with the water, and they found it helped everything get cleaner than it was before. So it was actually discovered. But I got to thinking now, if there was a pagan temple that had all those ingredients on Sapo Hill, we'd have to go back then, wouldn't he, to a man by the name of Abraham who built an altar. He would have used the same ingredients. Animal fat would have been sacrificed there. Hey, they would have used wood, which would have had a fire, would have been burnt down to ashes, and they'd have put salt. The Bible said they'd put salt on every sacrifice. Those ingredients would have been at Abraham's altar. He had soap, and he didn't even know it. We can go all the way back to Noah. We can go all the way back to Abel, that one who brought the firstling of the lambs. In fact, we can go all the way back to Adam and Eve, can't we? Remember when they got in sin? God himself came, I believe, with his own knife. And he took those animals and he slayed them and covered the nakedness of Adam and Eve with some type of animal skin, which I believe was probably a lamb or a sheepskin. I understand there would have been bloodshed there. Do you think God left the bloody carcass laying there on the ground? No. He would have offered it, first offering, he would have offered it as a burnt sacrifice. He would have had salt on it. God himself would have had soap at the very first altar. Isn't that incredible? Some of y'all are looking at me like, preacher, you have just gotten too deep with this message. I have just given you where soap originated from. Soap originated in the hand of God Almighty. Christ is the fuller's soap. So there's the discovery of soap. Number three, there's the dilemma of soap. The dilemma, soap's been a mystery. For 4,000 years, the Jews had it. They didn't even realize it. The Gentiles, the Romans, were the ones that discovered it. But soap was there, I told you already, the entire time. It's amazing that in those Jew sacrifices, all those years, offering that little lamb on the altar, when Jesus came, they did not recognize who he was. They didn't recognize him, but the Gentiles did. Jesus came into his own, and his own received him not. But unto as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Praise God this morning that he was a mystery, but he's not a mystery anymore. Amen. Number four, give me the depiction of the soap. What are those ingredients? There's some core ingredients. First of all, in this bar of soap, there is animal fat. Animal fat was offered the sacrifice every single day. Sacrifices were made. Animals were sacrificed. It is a biblical truth. And every little lamb that was slain pointed us to the Lamb of God, which was slain before the foundation of the world, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You understand that this bar of soap is made out of real flesh. Jesus took upon himself the form of a servant, and he became flesh. Hey, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. He became flesh. Guess what he did then? He gave his body for us to be clean. Now, you cannot separate this when I say that there's flesh in this. You cannot separate the fact that there would be some blood in this. For if there's the fat of that animal, it's what's in this one is kidney fat off the animal, okay? But you cannot separate. When Adam and Eve sinned and the Lord would have taken the blood and slayed that sheep or that animal and would have covered them with the sheepskin, the bloody side would have been turned to the inside. And the fur would have been turned to the outside. You cannot separate the fact that there's blood in the soap. Oh, aren't you glad this morning? His blood cleanseth us from all sin. Amen. Well, what else can we come up here, Preacher Darren? Well, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What else is the ingredients of this soap, Preacher Darren? Well, there's wood. You know, the wood has to be completely burnt to ashes. And what Grandma and Grandpa used to do, and they'd take the ashes out of the fireplace there and they'd stick them underneath. He'd just run off the edge of the tin roof and it fell in this great big pail, and the water and the ashes make lye. And that lye and that wood there, the wood is a necessary ingredient. Let's think about that for a second. The flesh, yea, the blood of Jesus Christ was shed upon the wood of an old rugged cross. No wonder he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. God and sinners have now been reconciled through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the old rugged cross. What else, preacher? Well, we mentioned salt. Every sacrifice, this has salt in it. Here, taste it and see. He's had his mouth washed out with soap before. Amen. Now listen, he said in Leviticus 2:13 about the salt, with all thine offerings, thou shalt offer salt. Salt is representing that which is a purifying agent. It represents the word of God. How many times have you heard Jesus say, it is written? How many times was it said, all these things were done that it might be fulfilled? Did you didn't know that soap contained the word of God? Did you, the salt of the word of God? But ever next time you take a good old share at the house and you're getting all lathered up, I hope you'll get in there and start worshiping the Lord and begin to think about, oh, it represents his blood. Oh, it represents his flesh. Oh, it represents the salt. Oh, it represents the cross that he died on that I might be spiritually clean. Bless his good name. Well, you can't have wood and you can't have ashes without the fire. The flesh and the blood of that animal are going to have to pass through the fire. And every time you see fire, it represents death. The wages of sin is death. Fire is always a picture of judgment against sin. You and I deserved the fire. We deserve the fire of the wrath of God. In fact, I'll remind you, at the great white throne judgment, where are the sinners sent off to? They're thrown into a lake of fire. That's exactly right. Hey, but guess what? When Jesus died upon Calvary, when Jesus took your place and mine, he was taking the wrath, the fire of Almighty God. He passed through the fire for me. That I might not have to feel the fire. That I might not have to feel the flame. He died that I might go free. Bless his good name. Hey, you know what I need to do? Hey, I just need to go get the soap sometime. Hey, get to thinking about Jesus. And it'll bless our soul. Amen. Well, we've talked about some of these core ingredients. Now, let me talk to you about the control. Everything, all these ingredients, have to be mixed at just the right temperature. Now, my buddy that made this for me said that he mixed these ingredients at 101.9. And he said when I put the lye in it, he said, you know what it did? It cooked up to about 200 degrees. Every now and then it's liable to get a little hot. Amen. Praise God. That's the way our spiritual atmosphere, it's got to be. Our word is controlled. You know what it's going to take? It's going to take the master's touch. He's the one, praise God, that's going to be making the soap. And listen, the process is called saponification. What? Saponification. He's in charge of saponification, salvation, separation. He's in charge of the entire Christian process. Bless his good name. What about the color? You see this color? It is a beautiful color. The color is gold. Amen. That gold bar there, which is the soap, I tell you what it represents. It represents deity. It represents lordship. Jesus has a crown of gold, royal in his birth, royal in his life, royal in his death. It's proclaimed throughout the entire word of God. What about its character? When you take the soap and you've stirred it and you've stirred it and you keep stirring it until it starts trailing behind the spoon. Then you get a mold and you pour the soap into the mold. And it takes between 5 and 12 weeks for that soap to harden up. I might say this morning that it represents its hardness, represents he's the rock. The Bible tells us that the church is built upon the solid rock. Amen. And when, listen, there was two different ones that built a house. One built upon the sand and the other built upon the rock. And when the storm came, the one on the sand washed away, but the one on the rock was still standing. You make sure that Jesus Christ is your rock and you're built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Amen. 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 Now let me say this about soap. It is very hard. But it is also possible that you could put this soap and get it in the right atmosphere and you can soften it. And then that softened soap will fit into any mold. Now what I'm trying to say is Jesus said, I came not to do my will, but thy will, O God. Not my will, but thy will be done. Last of all, and I'm done, I want to give you a description of the soap. Well, first of all, this bar of soap made out of animal fat, made out of salt, made out of wood. This bar of soap is all-purpose soap. You can use it for anything. It's made the old-fashioned way. You can scrub the floor with it. You can clean the windows with it. You can wash the walls with it. You can crumple it up and put it in the washing machine and wash your clothes with it. You can wash your bodies. You can even wash your hair. Hey, it's all purpose. He's anything you need to be cleansed, he's able to do it. I don't care how far you've gone. I don't care how dirty you are. I don't care how filthy you are. He's all purpose today. He can cleanse you. The Bible says in 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What I'm trying to say is sin had made a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Old timers used this soap, this gold bar of soap very often. You know why? It's all they had and it's all they needed. Amen. Not only is it all purpose, but it's all pure. Down at the grocery store, I looked. I gave up counting all the different name brands and types of soap that they had. I started to bring some, but I didn't want to advertise for any and put them down. Some of them said it'll make you smell better. Some of them said it's softer. Some of them said it's smoother. Some of them said it's brighter. Someone said it was more enticing. Some of them said it's more colorful. But here's what I found out. All the additives only hurts its cleansing power. There are very few places that are still preaching Christ is all you need.